The question today is it wrong to belong to the Masonic Lodge? This is part two. Yesterday we looked at the beginning of this. We said it's wrong because of the fact it's secret. And Jesus said what you hear in your ear, preach from the housetop. And he said reprove all the darkness, works of darkness, and that's evil. And so we're trying to do that, expose them today and realize it's wrong to belong to the Masonic Lodge because they're secret oaths that keep secret things from the wife of your bosom, and you make the vows that you take in the Masonic Lodge even more binding than even the marriage vows that you took. It ought not to be. Another reason we said was because of the oaths. That's horrible and blasphemous. And we read about the oath that's taken that by the entered apprentice. And of course, it comes down to the third part of that. I'll reread that. And says, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots and buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this my solemn oath and obligation as an entered apprentice mason. So help me God and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the same. So they make a promise, if they ever reveal any of that, that they would these things could be done to them. That's just the apprentice, masonry, if you please, and realize that at that time. And so therefore, we realize something else that what blasphemous oath these are. It's wrong to be a mason because of these blood curdling oaths that they take. They should not take them. Also here on another page that I'll read out of this book, and by the way, this is all backed up by the actual books that the Masons have themselves. And of course, this is the second degree. It's basically the same thing, except for the third paragraph of the oath, where it comes down, and this is the degree of fellow craft obligation. And he says, binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my left breast torn open, my heart plucked out, and given as a prey to the wild beast of the field and the fowls of the air. Then the third degree of the Master Mason, his obligation has this penalty that goes with the basic same thing. It goes, and by the way, this goes on more degrees that I'll not even try to get into. But he says, binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken from thence and burned to ashes, the ashes scattered to the four winds of heaven, so that no more trace or remembrance may be had of so vile and prejured a wretch as I, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this my solemn obligation as a master mason. So help me God, and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the same. And now, in other words, now they say it's secret, but it's not secret. It's written. You can find them in many places on the internet today. These things are there. And this is actually written in their books that they say is secret. Those oaths are blood-curdling oaths, and they ought not to ever be doing that. You say, preacher, does the Masons carry out these threats? They do. Well, and here another, I want to read this. In 1826, there was a Captain William Morgan that made this statement, and I believe it was in 19th of September, in 1826, they drowned him. Well, let me go back. It said they wrote of the he wrote out the so-called secrets and mysteries of Freemasonry up to and including the Royal Arch degree. Masons kidnapped Captain Morgan, kept him in Old Fort Niagara, and then on the night of the 19th of September, 1826, they drowned him in Niagara River. Folks, I want to tell you, they carried out those oaths. And then also we see another place I want to read what happened. And, of course, this is about Captain William Morgan. And it said that someone wrote a book in Streams on Masonry by Elder Stearns, a Baptist preacher. In the book, he said this. He tells how one of the three men who drew lots to take part in the assassination of Morgan made his confession. It was in 1848, 22 years after the Masonic murder of Morgan, that the physician, Dr. John L. Emery, of Racine County, Wisconsin, took down the deathbed confession of Henry L. Valance, one of the three. After the death of Valance, the confession was made public by Dr. Emery. The confession is found on page 311 of Stern's book on Masonry and copied also by Reverend Charles G. Finney, famous evangelist, in his book on the character, claims, and practical workings of the Freemasonry. So therefore, they say that some of the Masons say that he was never murdered, but many Masons thought that he was murdered, and it was said that about 45,000 Masons quit the Masonic lodges, and 2,000 separate lodges disbanded as a result of the great uproar that followed. But in here, in this book on Freemasonry by Finney, it says this: the Masonic Grand Lodge at the time defended the murder of Morgan. Many Masons today do so. I discussed the matter with my father freely the summer I started out to become a Mason, and have sometimes discussed it since. And of course, this is by writing by another man, in which he too had become a Mason, and I think later denounced that. But this, do they carry out the threats? Yes, they carried out the threats back in those days especially. And then we find also here, it talked about a committee got together here. It talks about this, and in on this book, I want to read this. It talks about 1,400 citizens of the state of Connecticut presented a petition to the legislature in their session of May 1833, asking that such Masonic oaths be prohibited by law. The House of Representatives appointed a committee to investigate to find out whether or not Masonic oaths were given, and as had been printed by Mr. Allen in his Masonic rituals and by others, and found from witnesses that they were correctly reported, with occasional slight verbal differences in various parts of the country. So different lodges have a little bit verbal difference in what they've said. Those oaths are. But the committee recommend to the legislature that the oath should be prohibited by legal enactment. Number one, because they are unauthorized by law. Number two, they bind the person to whom they are administered to disregard and violate the law. Number three, because they are, in their natural tendency, subversives of public morals and blasphemous. Number four, because the penalties attached to the breach of them are such as are entirely unknown to our law and are forbidden both by the Constitution of the United States and by the Constitution of this state, talking about Connecticut at that time. And so that's under In Freemasonry by Finney, page 49 and 50, documented there, if you please. Oaths, that's blood-curdling at that time. You see, these oaths tend to protect criminals and defeat justice and make members into liars and deceivers. In other words, Master Mason said these things: I will obey all regular signs. That's handshakes and different signs that's made across the room by the way they stance and whatnot. I will obey all regular signs, summons, or tokens given, handed, sent, or thrown to me from the hand of a brother, Master Mason. And again, it says this: a Master Mason's secrets given to me in charge as such, and I, knowing them to be such, shall remain as secure and inviolable in my breast as in my own when communicated to me, murder and treason excepted, and they are left to my own election. In other words, that's from Freemasonry by Finney, page 44. In other words, they can let people off, like the judge, the jury, or have to give those oaths that they'll let people off. They've got to do it. Now, it said that treason and murders accepted, but that's left up to their own discretion concerning that. My, how wicked that is, you see. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 34 and through 37, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh up evil." So therefore he said, swear not at all. Oaths are not right. They're not right to do that. James chapter 5, verse number 12 said, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." So you see, the oaths are awful, and it's not right to take these oaths. And that's what you do in the degrees of the Master Masons. And like I say, I've only shared with you three of the blood-curdling oaths, the first three levels, and they go up many degrees, and they get worse as they go up the chain of the ladder of those degrees, if you please. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, he said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless which taketh his name in vain." And folks, you realize these oaths are closed when you use the phrase, "So help me God," as he spoke of over there in those beginning, "So help me God and keep me steadfast in due performance of the same." In other words, it's taking God's name in vain. It's a bloody criminal. It's unchristian. It's blasphemy before God. Therefore, oaths are wrong because of secrecy. Oaths are wrong because of oaths. Well, the lodges are wrong, is what I'm saying, because of secrecy, because of oaths. But it's wrong to belong to the lodge because it's a religion. And being a religion, it's anti-Christian, it's pagan, and it's idolatry, is what it amounts to. Now, I want us to look at something here before our time runs out today, but here I want to read you something in the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, page 619. "The religion of Masonry is not sectarian." That means it's not narrow-minded. "It admits men of every creed within its hospitable bosom, rejecting none and approving none for his peculiar faith. It is not Judaism, though there's nothing in it to offend a Jew. It is not Christianity, but there's nothing in it repugnant to the faith of a Christian. Its religion is that general one of nature and primitive revelation handed down to us from some ancient and patriarchal priesthood in which all men may agree and none may differ." Folks, I want to tell you, how can you have something that can satisfy a Jew and a Muslim and a Christian? There's no way. Amos says in Amos 3:3, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" You realize they can't even pray in Jesus' name in those places, because that offends the Jew. He doesn't believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that offends the Muslim, because they believe Mohammed is superior to that. So they cannot pray in Jesus' name, because it says here very plainly that all men may agree and none may differ. In other words, not going to offend the Jew, not going to offend the Christian. It won't offend anybody else, because, man, therefore it's wrong. It's a religion, and it needs to be. It's wrong to belong to it. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.